This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. So feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Four lines wide open for you. So I talked to you guys about the non-fungible tokens and how the Treasury Department did a whole thing telling the, you know, our lawmakers and regulators to regulate it. And again, non-fungible tokens is not even a thing. Even you guys who believed in Beanie Babies don't believe in non-fungible tokens. Congratulations. We are proud of you. So then juxtapose it with this.
All right.
Last year, according to the FBI, the second largest loss due to crime, and this is cybercrime, was $3.9 billion.
What?
What do you think it was in what industry was that in? Cybercrime. $3.9 billion. I already told you. So
ransomware.
You know, no, unfortunately not. Cryptocurrency.
What?
So the Treasury writes about NFTs, but they don't have anything about cryptocurrency, where you ding-dongs are losing $3.9 billion actual fake American greenback dollars for the ransom, for the cryptocurrency produced by dinglings in Texas running on these little PCs. I mean, it's crazy. What are you guys doing? $3.9 billion. The biggest loss in cybercrime was $4.5 billion, of course, in investment crime.
Oh,
so that's pretty bad too, that's heavily regulated.
Yeah, I just told
you about credit default swaps, so it's not that regulated,
yeah. Right?
They seem to have a little wink and a smile when it comes to this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The third largest loss, according to the FBI, due to cybercrime in 2023. $2.9 billion in business email compromise.
Yeah.
This is a big thing.
It is a huge thing.
So your business, again, you're running Microsoft 365. It's the biggest targeted email platform on the planet. They're going to try to trick you into putting your credentials into fake portals anywhere they can. They get into your email and they see you've invoiced somebody for a $100,000 machine of some kind. Well, the bad guys then tell the person you've invoiced to send the money to a different ACH account, and they take $3 billion of these funds. So big, big problem. So cryptocurrency is number two. I don't see NFTs. I don't. Again, the Treasury spent all this time warning and regulating NFTs, and it's literally not even listed.
Well, actually, the Treasury even admitted that NFTs are just not a big target for criminals in the first place.
So literally, what are you spending time on, guys? Cryptocurrency, $3.9 billion in cyber crime. And it could be ransomware. You're right, Dennis. Ransomware probably is part of that as well.
Oh,
maybe. How do you guess? Tech support scams, $924 million. Personal data breaches, $744 million. So if you add all this up, you're looking at like $15 billion was sucked out of the U.S. out of Americans' pockets in 2023. The bottom is real estate crime. Credit card and check fraud, only $173 million.
Only.
Compared to cryptocurrency, it's a drop in the bucket. So, guys, if if the FBI is telling you $4 billion of your cash is being ripped off from you in cryptocurrency scams, why are you still putting money in these things? Wait until Quasimodo there, whoever started Bitcoin, wakes up and spends his Bitcoin on pizzas. You're not going to be happy. It's going to cause an issue with the value. All right, let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Karen in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hello, Karen. What can we do for you?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think my question is on widgets. A couple of weeks ago, I did the Microsoft update on the Tuesday updates or something?
Yeah.
And yep. I'm presented when I sign in, before I open a browser, when I turn my laptop on in the morning, I have three boxes toward the bottom of the screen. And the first one, they're centered on the page. The first one is the weather, which is the most important thing on the planet. The second thing is, don't forget where you live. The second thing is the markets, the latest data on the markets. And they're just like 2-inch by 2-inch squares. Mm-hmm. And the third one is trending in the NBA. I'm not a fan of the NBA.
That's okay. Fine.
You know, if I could, I want to either get rid of that or at least choose the Yankees or something. So I cannot find how to get to that place where I can control those widgets that just, I think they're widgets that just appeared on the screen a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Have you heard this before, Dennis?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those widgets.
It's Windows 11, I assume, Karen, right?
Yes, it is on a ThinkPad laptop.
Okay. Yeah, you can manage those widgets. Usually, most of them, well, actually all of them, have a little three-dot symbol up at the upper right, and that will allow you to change settings for it, and I believe it'll allow you to remove it, too, if you don't want it.
Okay.
And with the NBA one, for instance, it may allow you to pick a different team to follow or something like that.
Would it have to be the NBA?
No.
No. I think it can
choose any team. Okay.
Well, you'll have to explore the options that are available in it.
Right, or turn off the widgets completely.
Mike G just found an article about managing them completely, you know, customizing them. We'll post that article for you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I do like some of the widgets. If I look on the bottom of my taskbar and if I go all the way to the left, I've got like a screen pops up and two of those widgets are there and the screen is coming from, I think it's Microsoft Edge, is that it?
Well, Edge will display those. That's part of, it's kind of integrated within the same logic in the computer.
Mm-hmm.
That lower right-hand pane that comes up with the little tiny boxes gets the information from the same place that the widgets come from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, next time I see them, I'm going to give that a try.
Right. Yep. Customize them to what you want to see if you want to see it. Now, if you're running a VPN, though, your machine is going to give you weather in the wrong place. Keep that in mind.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's got me nailed.
Might be able to, in the menu options with that three-dot symbol,
right?
You might be able to specify what location you want weather for. And not have it selected automatically. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility.
Right. No, you're probably not wrong.
It gives me something to play with. Yeah, it gives me something to play with I'll check the article because I've been looking at some and just came up empty-handed with how to get rid of them. So this is beautiful. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure, Karen. Thanks for listening out there in North Carolina.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Widgets, Microsoft, always helpful.
Yeah, they're always throwing stuff in your way.
That's really what's
constantly
going on. Yeah. All right, let's go to Tom out there in Harwinton. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Eric. How are you guys doing today?
Doing okay, sir. How are you?
All right.
Good. So, I configured my desktop PC that is not wireless about 4 or 5 years ago to use OpenOffice. I assume I'm still configured, but is there a way I can check?
OpenOffice or OpenDNS?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, OpenDNS.
You can check. There is a way. And
so I'm on the computer right now. What would I do?
You go open up any browser, go to welcome.opendns.com. Welcome.opendns.com.
And the other way, as he's typing, is the internetbadguys.com.
Yeah.
I think it's plural, internetbadguys.
Yes.
Okay, so that's welcome.opendns.com.
Right.
All right. Okay, it says internet is safer, faster, smarter because you're using OpenDNS.
You see the green check mark, then you're OpenDNS.
No. I see a red check mark.
Oh, so it's saying you didn't do it.
No, wait a minute. It says, welcome to OpenDNS.
Yeah.
Your internet is safer, faster, and smarter because you're using OpenDNS.
Okay.
Thank you.
So they used a red check instead of the green. That seems kind of silly.
It doesn't.
Well, I'm on browse. I don't know if it makes a difference.
No, it's
Brave.
Just...
I don't know if it makes a difference between Chrome or Edge or any of those others.
I think the folks at Cisco are just colorblind.
Maybe.
But the other thing about it is good to check. So you checked. So here's the other little gotcha with OpenDNS. You checked IPv4. You may not be secure on IPv6, right? So this is something that is a bit of an issue in that if you have IPv6 running as well, you may not be protected and you could still kind of leak out. So there's two options there. Configure the IPv6 OpenDNS as well, which is a little more complicated because it's got more numbers within their IP scheme. Or just disable IPv6 internally.
So how do I
This is next level stuff, Tom. You figured since you've already got your red green check from Cisco, so you want to do the exact same check on an IPv6. So OpenDNS does offer a check on that to see if you have any kind if it's configured or not. And that'll tell you. So if it's not, then you're going to have to follow the directions, either configure that or disable IPv6 on your computer. Because you don't need IPv6 internally. Not yet.
Well, yeah, okay. But what I asked was, how do I configure it for IPv6?
No, we'll have to put the link up there for you.
Yeah, we're posting a link on what to do and where to put it.
How do we check on the IPv6? Is there the same idea? I'm sorry, Tom. Go ahead.
Where are you putting that link?
TheNameOfTheShow.com or ComputerTalkWithTab.com. That's where the link will be. If you follow us at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network through Facebook, it'll go there too. If you follow us on X at Tab Computer Sys, it'll get to you that way too.
No, I don't use those last two.
All right.
But I can go to Computer Talk with Tab.com.
With Tab.com. Yeah, it'll be
all
there.
Right, and thank you.
You're welcome, Tom. Nice job configuring it on the IPv4.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's the other aspect of this, right? So, unfortunately, you think you're secure, and you're not. You're leaking out of IPv6. You know, your browser may not be doing it just on the IPv4 IP address, because you're given both addresses. So, keep that in mind. I'm going to go to Ron at Agawam, Mass. next. What's going on, Ron?
Hey, good morning, guys. Really enjoy the show.
Thanks.
I was listening to a previous caller, not the one now, but just before that.
She had widgets.
On her, right. I had the same problem with after a Microsoft upgrade or update, and it's on your lock screen setup.
Okay.
And I was able to get, I had three different widgets, and one was New York Stock Exchange and NBA and all that stuff.
It was
garbage. For me, it was garbage.
Right.
And in my lock screen setup, I was able to get rid of all of it.
Nice. Yeah, I'm sure the instructions that we would have found would have that. So appreciate that. Lock screen setup. I haven't seen it yet because I'm not running Windows 11 yet. And Dennis, you are running 11. You haven't seen it yet on yours?
I saw it on one computer that I have
on one
Windows 11.
Yeah.
But I just let it go.
Yeah.
I mean, it does put those little widgets into the lock screen.
Yeah.
I just left it that way because I'm purposely trying to explore what what Microsoft is going
to do to you. No, for you, not to you.
At any rate, I purposely left them there. I'll probably turn them off at some point, but yeah, one of them does it.
But thank you. We appreciate you checking in with us, Ron.
And it did come in this month with Patch Tuesday.
Did it, yeah. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. I got it about a week ago.
Yeah, that would be, you know, about a week after Patch Tuesday. So, yeah.
So along with showing us this information and then recording, offering us the ability to record everything you do on your computer, I mean, they've been very helpful this past couple of weeks, haven't they?
Well, it's actually fluff garbage, so I got rid of it.
Right, and again, it's a way for them to monetize you because they're
right.
They're,
so I refused. I tried to refuse to do that. So
there you go. sounds good, Ron.
Hey, have a great afternoon.
You too. Thanks.
Bye.
Right, bye. So I saw this news article.
Oh,
and I was like, all right. So I shouldn't. Well, here's the headline.
All right.
The NSA advises you turn your phone off and back on once a week.
Really?
They do. Now, for me, the first thing that came to mind was, as I reboot my phone, the NSA wants to load tools on my machine to know where I'm going. Anytime you hear advice from the NSA, it just kind of gives you some shivers, right? You know, these are the guys that produce most of the stuff that causes all the problems we've got as it is, as far as letting it get out into the wild. So the NSA had this whole thing of how to keep your phone more safe, and they want you to reboot your phone once a week. And that's a good thing, right? I tell my wife to do it all the time. It clears the cache. It makes it work better. You should also delete your old text messages that you don't need. They just all that reloading and all that, it just slows everything down. But by powering off your phone regularly, disabling Bluetooth when it's not needed, and using only trusted accessories are just some of the NSA security's recommendations. So they think by rebooting it once a week, you're going to cause trouble for the bad guys who might have gotten on your phone because the update might come down and update your phone.
And trash whatever they put in there.
Correct. All those zero vulnerabilities that are out there. So they're not wrong. You should reboot your phone on a regular basis. You should do it at least once a month to get the latest updates.
Yeah.
But once a week is what they have here. And they have a whole area here of what you can do to prevent and mitigate things. On your phone. It's really not that hopeful or helpful. I mean, it's kind of helpful, but they've got does not prevent, sometimes prevents, and almost always prevents. Almost, of course. Almost. So they tell you what you can do to protect your phone, and you know, turn off your cellular Wi-Fi. Well, turn off all your cellular Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, right? That almost always protects you from that. The almost on that should make you a little creepy. You know, what does it say here? Only install apps from office stores. Of course, that sometimes prevents, because of course the app stores themselves have issues.
Yep.
Use mic drowning case to cover your camera. That almost, almost always. The fact that NSA tells you almost means they know a little bit more than we do. Did you even know there was a mic drowning case that existed? Like, when you look up cases for your phone, do you look up the capability of drowning the mic?
No.
Right?
Well, why would you do that?
Avoid carrying the device.
If you're gonna have your phone in a case,
right?
Why would you drown the mic with the case?
I don't know.
Then you can't make any calls.
It's not that you're doing anything wrong, Dennis. Avoid carrying the device. No sensitive conversations around the device. That almost always. Almost always. Turn off your geolocation. So just so you know, the Find Your Device stuff that's out there. The phone can be off. Google's got a new feature. It's going to be able to find your phone, even though it's off and the battery's dead.
Wow.
So it almost always. We'll put this link up here for you. You can see what it can do to help you sort of mitigate your risk of having issues with your smartphone. We're here till 11 o'clock. Four lines wide open. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
Dennis Hallinan. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we're going to go right to your calls. First here, we're going to go to Jim in Willington. What's going on, Jim?
How are you? Nice to talk to you guys.
You too, sir.
I got a question. Picked up a HP laptop. Got it. Whatever. It came with Windows 11. It also came with, I assume, the updated version of Outlook. Now, I need to ask you this. Is it just me, or every single time I go to use mail, I have to, it sends me over to an older version. If I want to send mail, send new mail.
Yeah.
It sends me over to some older version of Outlook where I can do that, and then it dumps that mail. At least whatever I sent on the older version, that older version also shows any emails I did receive
on
any particular day, and then it dumps what I just sent over to the newer version as well. Is there something going on, or do I have two an older version of Outlook on my computer as well as the newer one, or...
Well, that can happen and happened to me. When you buy a computer, though, you typically know whether you purchased Outlook or not. Did you buy a Microsoft 365 subscription or did you buy the Outlook suite?
Well, you know, that's it. I did not buy any of that, to my knowledge. I booted the computer up, put the whatever I had to put on it. It came with whatever it came with, and everything was fine. But...
Yeah, I'm guessing you have some sort of introductory.
It's aggravating.
Yeah.
I cannot use the newer version of Mail in Outlook to send anything new unless it switches me over. I have to actually click on, you know, an icon, not an icon, but a little area on the mail screen on the new version, and it sends me over to the old one so that I can send something new.
Dennis looks perplexed. He looks the most perplexed of this show I've ever seen him.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I... Listen, that solves a lot of my problems. I can confuse an expert. You're making my day now.
Well, so this happened to my wife. So I finally acquiesced and replaced her old Windows 7 computer that she's been complaining about for years with a nice brand new Tab Windows 11, you know, micro PC. It was beautiful. She used it for a month. She was so happy. And then Microsoft throws new Outlook at us. And basically, it wouldn't work with our Proton Mail. So I spent about a half an hour screwing with it. And then I just deleted the new Outlook and let the old Outlook come back in because the old Outlook was literally grayed out. I couldn't even click on it until I got rid of the new Outlook. So I have seen what you're saying. If we're talking about Outlook, you really, as far as I'm concerned, want to use the old one. The new one stinks. I think you're using Mail. I think you're using Microsoft Mail. I don't think you're running Outlook at all. Are you using like a little envelope?
You know, you're right. You know, now you say that, you're right. It might be Microsoft Mail because my email address, I believe, I've had it forever. Yeah, I think you might be right with that.
Okay. So, I mean, maybe you've got two different mail clients running or something?
Yeah.
That's probably.
Here's the deal. Microsoft is migrating the Windows Mail app to the new Outlook app.
There it is, yeah.
And it sounds like you've still got both of them on the computer.
Yes.
Yeah.
What you're going to have to do is find out which one of them works right and then go into your Windows settings and change the default email app to that, whichever one of them is working right.
Right.
And just use that app.
So basically, I'm going into settings, and okay, that's fine. So I guess the expert's not stumped anymore.
Well, we first have to decipher what the heck you're saying.
Yeah, we got to try to make sense of it all.
Well, you guys don't make it easy.
I stump myself. Listen, I stump myself every day. You guys just are the tail end of my week. That's all.
I hear you.
I guess that's all. I had a bunch of other questions, but I'm not going to hog up any time. I enjoy your show over the years. You guys kept me smart enough, just smart enough, just smart enough to think I'm an expert for 2 hours. But I appreciate your help on the phone.
Our pleasure, Jim. Happy to help you.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Microsoft, they force these changes on you. You're using a tool. You're minding your own business. In the case of my wife's computer, it just literally, new Outlook said, I am now in control. And I'm like, open the pod bay doors, Hal. And they wouldn't let me because it just didn't want to work with my Proton.
That's highly unusual, Dave.
I know. Please, let me use my email client. No, Eric, you can't. So basically, I had to delete the new Outlook, and the old one thankfully worked because Proton was not going to work with the new Outlook the way it works. So I like Proton Mail. I'm not going to continue with that. So as a way for your calls, it's
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
605-222-9842 is the number. Did you guys hear about this? There was a Google search leak. So Google lost about 2,500 internal documents, including some related to search, that calls into question past statements made by the company. So Google search, right? This is the whole thing that all people who have websites are trying to figure out. They use SEO, search engine optimization,
right,
to make sure that when somebody puts in a keyword like, you know, expert IT advice, Tab Computer Systems comes up, right?
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what we want to be on top.
Right.
Right. So you go ahead and do search engine optimization and you pay these quote unquote experts to optimize your website in the hopes that the chocolate factory, as it's called by the Register, will actually list your site at the top. Well, curiously, some of the documents talk about, these are all internal documents, talk about the fact that it could really be more about clicks that actually are the factor as far as how your site's ranked, not necessarily the keywords within your site. Because it's always been smoke and mirrors. I mean, marketing is smoke and mirrors if you're in the marketing world. And trying to figure out how to get your site listed on top of all the other sites is key, right? So basically they're saying possibly a tool called NavBoost that uses searchers' clicks to elevate the content is really a bigger driver maybe than SEO. So if you're in the SEO world, Good luck to you. We're as confused by it as probably you are. But it looks like this information is kind of putting into question really how search engines work and how your site is ranked or listed. And one thing about Google, though, is they've never been breached. So they use tools like Yubico and what have you to keep their sites, their data protected. This was an internal leak. Somebody just leaked this out.
Right.
They got what's the guy's name that's trying to be extradited who's sitting in Ecuador? Snowden?
No,
the other guy. I can't think of his name.
Julian Assange.
They got Assange. Data was leaked. And so this is causing kind of a problem because there's whole consultancies around SEO. And you can go ahead and Google will tell you whether or not your site is optimized. But what does that really mean? Why are people coming to your site? Are they putting in expert IT advice and going to Tab? Is Tab the top listed site? Well, I can tell you it's not. If you put those words in, who knows what it takes to have you, and who knows what kind of words you're actually going to type in?
Right. I mean, yeah, it's they have to kind of guess what types of queries people are going to be using,
right,
to get to where they want to go, and then try to build search results around those.
So the funny thing is, if you juxtapose it back to, again, Google's AI, where they think glue on a pizza is a good idea. And we actually have this story. They blame you.
Well, yes. And they say that their AI does not hallucinate.
No.
It's all based on the inputs.
Which is you.
And right. And people are putting in stupid inputs, and that's what.
Well, it got down to reading Reddit.
Yeah, Reddit postings.
By you. Not you personally, Dennis, but right, you guys on the interwebs are feeding the artificial intelligence of Google to the point where it, you know, if you ask the question, how many rocks should I eat? It tells you. So this artificial intelligence has a ways to go, but they're blaming you guys for putting stupid things out there on the internet and having the AI ingest it and incorporate it in its answers. So buyer beware on what the feedback is and whatever you're inputting. We'll put a link up here to the search leak, the Google search leak article, and you can see what's going on out there, especially if you're an SEO, you're in the web design business. Very interesting. So Ken, hang on. I got to take a quick break because Carolyn told me to, and then we'll get right back to your call. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.
Ground down my teeth. Can't find my keys. Someone keeps locking my jaw.
Yikes, he's having a bad day. Ooh. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock on this lovely Saturday morning. And let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Ken in Torrington next. What's going on, Ken?
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I was wondering about my security, my ID on my computer and my email, because the town here just recently, the whole computer system was locked down by Nigeria.
You're kidding.
No, nobody knows about it. No, they don't say nothing, but the whole computer system cost them $1 million, $900,000, whatever.
What? They paid the Nigerian prince $900,000 to unlock their systems in Torrington?
From a very good, reliable source, that's what I was told, yes. Now, I mean, you don't hear anything about it. Obviously, they wouldn't. But, yeah, they got
Well, they're supposed to report it.
They're supposed to do a lot of things. But that's the rumor, and that's what I heard. So, I mean, but it was a reliable source. So, and of course, I emailed them about tax return or taxes and this and that. Is there any worry I should have about my security?
Well, generally, the answer would be yes, no matter what happens.
Yeah, by definition.
You know, because of the attack on the town, so there's, if it's just, as, if there was one, and there was one in the past, actually, it looks like in 2020.
Yeah, there's, and they just, it cost me $1 million. That's probably why you don't hear about it.
Yeah, so it depends, right? So if it's just a ransomware attack where they ransom the equipment and then they want to pay, get the ransom to decrypt the systems, that's one thing. If they exfiltrated the data, took it away, and said, "Hey, if you don't pay the ransom, we're gonna spread this data out there," then you have something else.
Yeah, because that. Well, who knows? But they paid, so.
I would say you're no more at risk than the rest of us.
Okay. Ken. How could the town be infiltrated like that? Don't they have anybody like you guys watching?
Well, maybe they do, maybe they don't. Some towns have internal IT folks that have been there, again, nothing against you guys, that have been there for 30 plus years and really don't know what they don't know. Companies like us who have been doing this for 42 years, we really have seen how the sausage is made. We're not perfect either. But we have tools that we put in place for our customers that would greatly reduce the chance of things like this happening. However,
Well, yeah. one of the disadvantages that, you know, like Torrington's IT crew has, mm-hmm. is that they only manage their own network.
Right.
It's one thing, and that's all they've got.
Right.
When it comes to an ASP like us, we manage a whole lot of different kinds of networks.
Right.
So we have exposure to things that they just aren't always going to run into.
The other
issue, it just provides a different perspective. I'm not saying it's better or worse.
The other issue, too, is the budgets. I mean, we've talked to towns that we support, and they've got sister towns, they call them, that they've talked to, and they say their IT people charge them $100,000 more than we charge for our support. So the budgets are so screwed up when it comes to companies that are supporting towns, because the towns are getting ripped off, as far as I'm concerned, by their providers. They're charging them an arm and a leg. They see them coming, and
yeah, and you still get scammed for $1 million.
And then, you still have the breach, right? So, yeah, I mean, I don't know that it's true in the case of Torrington, but any town, there's tons of them that are impacted all the time. And it's a lot of it's because they've not done the training. They don't do security awareness training for their folks. They don't have 2FA enabled. You want to know why they don't have 2FA enabled? Because their internal people don't want to mess with it or bother with it. We hear this all the time. It's a typical scenario with any small to mid-sized organization with their IT. And there are very affordable tools out there that we offer our customers, that we would offer a town like the town of Torrington, that would greatly reduce the chance of you being ransomed to having to pay $1 million in a ransom.
Maybe they should call you guys up, but it's Torrington. I doubt they will.
Well, it's funny, Ken. We actually really choose not to work with towns. The politics is just, as far as I'm concerned, not worth the trouble. You have all these changes in regime, and then somebody wants to bring in their buddies to do IT support. It's like, you know what? Go bring in your buddies. We don't need that kind of baloney.
It doesn't cost them anything anyway. It costs us.
Correct. It costs you, the taxpayer. And it's not a target market for TAB. We're happy to support organizations like towns. We've done so for many years if they call us. We support many fire departments and what have you with their needs, water departments, sewage treatment departments. The towns, though, my goodness, holy moly, the politics are just not worth it.
Yeah, like I said, it was a reliable source. So nothing was said.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's too bad. The Nigerian prince keeps getting richer.
Yeah, it was kind of like maybe going to migrate out that way.
Yeah, there you go. I should all head to Nigeria.
Good place to live.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Ken.
Your
yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye. So, yeah, we didn't find anything news-wise as far as that occurring. Did you see anything, Dennis?
No, didn't see anything about anything recent.
So, I mean, I think towns are supposed to report this to the FBI. I think you can't keep it hidden,
yeah,
so it may not be something to happen. But if you're a town, and you got to have these tools in place. You need to have 2FA in place. You need to have proper encryption in place. You need to have security awareness training in place. You need to have EDRs in place, MDRs in place. You can't do it the way you did it in the past. You can't keep operating the way you have in the past. School system, same problem. The bad guys are targeting you guys. You're very easy targets. So anything you want to bring up with the news, Dennis?
Well, we got some information. Let's take a look.
What are you looking for?
Well, I thought maybe we'd
take a question.
We have a question from the mail.
All
somebody
right.
sent an email.
The
to
old TAB, Computer Talk with TAB mailbag.
Get help at tabinc.com.
All right, what do you got?
Bob from Middletown. He's looking to replace a computer. He wants to know, he says he doesn't currently use a Microsoft account, and he's wondering how much of a hassle that would be. If he gets a Windows Home computer, you will have to have a Microsoft account, if for no other purpose than to start the computer up and get into Windows.
Right, right.
After that, you can create a local account and then use that local account. But in order to start the computer, you will have to create a Microsoft account. There are ways around it.
Which we have posted in the past.
We have posted in the past. I don't know if they still will work.
Right.
You never know if they're going to pull the rug out of any of these workarounds.
Right.
Maybe we can repost one.
Yeah.
So that's not a problem. He doesn't know if he wants, if he can adjust to Windows 11. I think he can.
Of course you can.
Is it difficult to move files from the old computer to the new? It is not. You take the drive out of the old computer, yep. put it into a USB drive enclosure, and then connect it to the new one, and then move your files. He also wonders about getting a laptop. He has security concerns, meaning that it can be stolen physically.
Right.
And he doesn't generally use a computer outside the home. I would say get another desktop.
Yeah.
If you're used to that and you like it and it works for you, fine. Keep going with it.
Sounds good. Hope that helps. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on that this Saturday morning. I want to thank Carolyn for producing, Mike G for posting everything over on Twitter and Facebook, and Dennis, of course, doing your thing on Computer Talk.
Remember, we want you to be geeks too.
We will see you guys next Saturday.